Good evening, everyone. We'll bring the original dated code enforcement board for February to order. If we could start with a roll call, please.
Chairperson Matthew Criswell.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Maurice Capra.
Here.
Board Member Michael Burns.
Here.
Board Member Carol Giltz.
Here.
Board Member Dennis Robinson.
Here.
Senior City Attorney Jennifer Nix.
Here.
We're all here.
Perfect. If we could ask everybody, please silence their cell phones for this evening. We'll stand up and have a Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence for those who are fighting for our freedom and those who are in a time of need.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Perfect. Good evening, Captain Track. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Long time no see for everybody here. We have any agenda changes or anything we need to know about?
We do not.
We do not. Well, with that said, could we have everybody forward who's going to give testimony tonight to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Did the board get a chance to review the minutes from?
So before we do that, actually, since we are in the new calendar year, we do need to hold our elections for chairperson and vice chairperson.
That time again?
It's that time.
Jeez. Wow.
We haven't been here since November, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So the first would be chairperson, and if you want to open the floor to nominations.
Yes, let's open the floor to nominations.
I nominate Mr. Criswell for president of the
board. President?
President.
Oh, getting a promotion.
I think you get paid for
brain.
That. I think that gets a
yeah,
paying job.
Yeah, I think
job.
So, too.
I'll second
okay.
that.
All right, is anybody else? I guess I'll politely accept it, then.
Okay. Yeah, that works. I'll just do a roll call, formal roll call,
sure.
If you just want to say aye. Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
All right, so Chairperson Criswell remains. That's good for my roll call.
All right, and then do we need a vice chair as well?
So we also need a nomination for vice chair if you'd like to open nomination.
I'll open up the floor for nominations for vice chairperson.
I'll nominate Mr. Capra as vice chairman.
Vice chairman.
I'll second that.
Anybody else? Looks like we're sticking with the rabbi.
I'll do the same roll call, just official. Chairperson
okay.
Criswell.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you. I hope I don't let you guys down. If I do, just yell at me. My feelings don't get hurt, ever. With that being said, now that we're on our new roles, Captain Track, we're ready to go.
We're going to do minutes.
Well, we will go to the minutes now, yeah.
Okay, minutes, sorry.
And the seconds, too.
Yeah. Anybody have a chance to review the minutes from November?
I did, Mr. Chairman. I move we accept the minutes.
Second.
Got a first and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Thank you.
Now we can move into our evening agenda.
The first case for tonight is going to be case number 2019 CE002971 for 120 North Fairfax. The owner's HUD. The violations are IPMC 302.1. 302.1 sanitation. Winter Spring City Ordinance 9-374 house numbers, Winter Spring City Ordinance 13-2C overgrown yard, Winter Spring City Ordinance 13-2B junk and debris. Date of service was December 24, 2019 by myself, Terry Guerra. November 7, 2019, while patrolling, I noticed this residence in disrepair. Grass and weeds were overgrown, bushes were growing on the roof. Black growth was on the front of the residence, trash was in the front yard, and there was no house numbers. The residence appears to be vacant. I sent an NCV to the owner of the property on November 12, 2019. United States Postal Service website advised the letter was delivered to an agent. On February 10, 2020, I posted the property and City Hall for code board. I also sent a notice certified in first class to the owner. On February 18, 2020, I checked the property and the grass had been cut and most of the garbage was picked up. There's still black growth and on the outside of the residence and the address was not properly displayed. There has been no contact from the owner at this time. This is what it looked like when I first saw it. The grass is all grown. No house numbers anywhere. And this was after it was the grass was cut pretty much and most of the trash was picked up. But the weeds and stuff are still overgrowing onto the roof. There's still the black growth on the front and the house numbers. I am recommending the board find the property in violation and impose a fine of $100 a day if found in noncompliance. The owner should be given until March 18th, 2020 to comply.
Thanks, Inspector Guerra. Do we have any questions for the inspector? Do we have anybody here that's giving testimony? Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we have a motion sheet in front of us.
You're correct.
I have one if you'd like. One to go off of.
Oh, yeah.
We could share.
Yeah, I think we could probably share.
I'll make the motion.
Since you have the sheet.
I guess that was the idea. Okay, I move to find the respondents in violation of the city code and order that respondents be given until March 18th, 2020 to correct the violation. In the event the respondents fail to comply by this date, a fine in the amount of $100 shall be imposed for each day the violation continues thereafter.
I'll second that.
Ms. Giltz gave it and Mr. Robinson seconded. Any discussion or questions moving forward? Roll call, please, sir.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye. All right, moving on to 501.
Good evening.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well.
This is going to be for case number 2019-CE-002874, address of 707 Clubwood Drive. The owner is showing as Michael R. Blickenstaff, personal rep for an estate of Sarah C. Toller. Violations are Winter Springs City Ordinance 13-1 for general prohibition, 6-195 for maintenance of fence or walls, IPMC 304.13 for windows. The date of service was January 10th, 2020. The inspector is myself, Rich McLaren. On October 31st, 2019, I received a complaint from a neighbor who stated that the grass of this vacant residence, particularly in the rear, was overgrown. Inspection of the property did find such a condition existed. Also observed the broken window near the garage area and the fence was in disrepair. The notice of code violation was mailed certified mail, return receipt requested, which was returned as unclaimed and posted to the residence. February 12th of 2020, the property was set for code board. Notices sent out, first class mail, certified return receipt requested, as well as property in City Hall posted. This is the fence in particular. As you can see, there's a broken slat, and the rest of it's pretty much in disrepair. And if you notice the window next to the garage, there's a broken pane in the upper left-hand corner. This is the same broken window. And it's pretty much the fence from the street. The condition hasn't changed much since the original inspection. The notices on the door, on the garage door, the one on the left was the original notice of code violation that I posted when it came back in November. And the one next to it was the code board notice for the meeting that was supposed to be last month, which was canceled. Okay. I recommend that the property be found a violation of city ordinances cited. Be given until March 15th, 2020 to come into compliance or a fine of $250 a day be applied.
Any questions for Officer McLaren?
You say it is vacant?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's been vacant for approximately 2 years now.
Okay. 2 years?
Yes. Hmm. From what I know, the resident passed away about 2 years ago, and the person who's in control of the house was her funeral director because she had no heirs to pay for her funeral.
Oh.
So there's some obscure state law that allows for them to, I don't know, take possession of their property to pay for it.
Hmm. So they hold title?
He does hold title for the house. I've been having on and off code violations with the house for approximately 2 years now, and he was responsive at the beginning, and now he's just not showing any response at all.
Mm-hmm. You say he does own title to the house?
It's showing for a property appraiser.
Okay. Does he hold title? Does the estate hold title?
I believe the estate holds title, but he's the representative
He's the representative, yeah, for the estate, right?
Wow. Any other questions? This might not go away. Any other questions? Is there any representative here to give testimony? Seeing none, hear a motion?
Okay, I'll make a motion. I move to find the respondents in violation of the city code and order that respondents be given until March 15th, 2020 to correct the violation. In the event respondents fail to comply by this date, a fine in the amount of $250 shall be imposed for each day the violation continues thereafter.
I'll second that.
I have just some discussion to think about. Mm-hmm. Man, if there's no family members, there's nobody here, if we give this thing a $250 a day fine, it's not going to stop. It's just going to go. So then we're going to look at a piece of property that's probably could be upside down at some point in time. I think I would rather see, or if the board would want to as well, either a reduction in a fine or a little bit longer in time to get it fixed than, say, 20 days, a little less than 20 days.
In my opinion, I would like to see a longer time, not less money.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest with you, it over time, I've dealt with him, and where I've had to have, like, the grass remedied, and he paid it right away. But if you give him more time, he might get it taken care of. If you lessen the fine, it's not going to really mean anything to him.
Yeah, our next meeting is the 24th of March. You know, if the board would want to make the amendment, I would maybe give until the 22nd. That way it would give Officer McLaren time to look at it on the 23rd. And then we could see it back here on the 24th probably. Does anybody object to that or have anything that
I don't have an objection to that. I have a question.
Sure.
Is there any other way that we might be able to engage Mr. Blinkerstaff?
I do not know. I've tried calling his office and gone to voicemail, never gotten a phone call back. Every notice I sent to him, even the regular first class, have come back.
And he's local?
In Longwood, on Ronald Reagan.
Hmm. Do any of the neighbors
the
know him, say anything?
No. The neighbors are the ones that are calling in the complaints.
Okay.
And basically they tell me the same thing as I'm telling you, is that he's non-responsive.
Okay.
I don't know. To me, I think we should hit him with the fine. And you know, maybe that might get his attention to do something.
Yeah.
No. Because that would be my opinion.
Let me ask our attorney. If he's non-responsive to mail, mm-hmm, and he's non-responsive to postings, is there any other way we can get his attention?
Well, as far as the notice of violation that was given out for this particular set of violations, of course, you know, there are options that code enforcement chooses to use sometimes where I think it's section 13-4, when there's certain language that's noted, as you all might recall, about abating nuisances type of thing. However, that's not what code enforcement was going for in this particular set, but that's how you would pretty much go about it. Just because we have to follow the statutes and code, so that's kind of what you're stuck with, either giving them the notice for them to rectify it or giving them the notice with certain language, and then you all, you know, would have an ability to potentially rectify something. But we don't have that option right now, yeah, because that's not
No, obviously not. No.
But right, right.
Do we have the option to invite them to appear?
Sure. We have an invitation. I've worked on about 20 invitations this month.
So. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's typical, and I would, you know, I would advise that just follow the notice sections as normal.
Yeah, no.
If I recall from the training, you can subpoena somebody for a code board,
right,
but if they don't show up, it's not like a judicial right. They choose not to abide by it.
I'm just looking at it this way, guys. We sit up here to uphold the code that's written. At $7,500 a month for somebody that doesn't live there, for a person that just holds title on a piece of property there's no attachment to. It may be not that he doesn't care. It might not just be the top on the list. And at $90,000 a year, give or take, 2 or 3 years of this, and the property now is, for all intents and purposes, kind of unsaleable.
Mm-hmm. But they also do have the option for a lien reduction once they,
sure,
they do come into compliance.
Sure. I don't know too many people out there that are going down and saying, oh, let's sit in front of a code board or then in front of a county or a city commission for months on end when they want a house that they have to probably dump a bunch of money into. So, yeah, I think maybe a little bit more time. But the premise is to get the place cleaned up.
Correct.
Right. So
I have a question.
Let's think about it that way.
You say that this the lawyer here, this Lickenstaff, that he is like administrator for the estate. Is that what you said?
I don't know that he's a lawyer.
Personal representative. Would he have the ability? I don't know if you can answer this or not. To sell the place for the estate, or does he have to go by what the will says? Or
I have no idea the situation, okay, so I would hesitate to speak to that,
yeah,
because I don't have any of the factual information.
Okay.
You know.
So he may be just told to maintain it, and that's it.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
I was just curious, because
right,
I would think at this point, after 2 years of getting letters, that he would just say, if I can sell it, let's get rid of this thing,
yeah,
and get rid of this headache and be done with it.
So we've got a motion, yeah, and a second on the table, the floor. So are there any amendments, or do we want to roll with it the way it is? Mm-hmm. I'm completely fine. I just wanted to bring up my...
Do you want to change the date to 20?
I would.
The date's not much that much different.
Yeah, it's, yeah, you're talking about
we're talking about
week,
a week.
So I'm actually okay with changing that date if you think that it might help, if it can bring about a resolve.
Yeah.
Who was it? Board Member Giltz that made the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, then, would you like to amend it or no? Since you made the motion, and then whomever made the second, would you like to accept the amendment?
Well.
We can move the date further back if we want to as well. It's just
so what date do you want?
I would just give him the dates for the 24th of March is our code board here, and then would be the 28th of April would be the code board. So you'd want to end it at least a day or two before so that Officer McLaren could get out there and take a look at it. So it'd either be the 22nd of March or the 26th of April.
All right, so shall we go for, you want to go for April?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So how do I amend it? Do I just?
If you're happy with April 26th.
Okay. Do it again.
Was that the date? April 24th. I'm sorry, you're right, April 26th, yes.
Okay.
I'm fine with that too.
All right.
Okay.
You just have to just put an amendment in there, right, for the April 26th? Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to read the whole thing over again.
You don't have to read the whole thing. If you
accept
the amendment, we all know what you're...
Yep.
Yeah,
everybody understands.
I'm going to amend the date of the motion to reflect April 26th, 2020, as the date by which they have to comply.
And the second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any further discussion? Now we may have a roll call, please.
Chairperson Criswell.
Yes, sir. Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Gilts.
Aye.
Board Member Capra.
Aye.
All right. You okay, Rich? Good with that?
Yep.
502.
The next case is 2019 CE003162, address of 219 Bennett Street. The owners are shown as Chai TK Thai and a Kwong.
When?
Sorry. Violations are as Winter Springs City Ordinance 20-411. Date of service February 12, 2020. Inspector myself, Code Officer Rich McLaren. December 11, 2019, complaint received reference to a boat trailer being stored in the front yard of the residence. Notice of code violation was mailed, certified mail, return receipt requested to the property owner. Return is unclaimed on 1/21/2020 and posted at the property. The property and City Hall were posted for a code board hearing on 2/12/2020. Notices were also mailed out, certified mail, return receipt requested, and first class mail. There's been no contact made with anyone reference this case until today. And this is the violation in question, and it still remains the same till today. I recommend the property be found a violation of city ordinance, be given until March 15th to come into compliance, or a fine of $150 a day be applied.
Does anybody have any questions for officer?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
I do. Sorry. Because I'm across the street and we have our own set of rules about trailers and boats. What's the actual situation with boats?
The boat and trailer has to be stored past the forward line of the house.
For the forward line.
Yes.
Okay. I got you. Thank you.
All right, sir, you want to give some testimony? If you'll come up, state your full name and your address.
Yes, my name is Quang Nguyen. I live the address 219 Bennett Street, Winter Spring, in Florida. It's a problem is I'm just moving this house, this property about like 3 months. I'm still working on it. So the first time I saw the note on any car and any the boat, I try to move, hurry up to move. Because in my house, it's family member, it's a 5-6 member. So each member have each car. So the property, they don't have the space to park the car on it. So that's why I'm packing the rest. And the boat, just the old one, I don't know where I'm packing it. I put all the way at the corner, and I got a sticker. So I moved the boat home to the driveway from this side of the house. But I don't know where I put the boat right now.
I don't understand.
Rich, do you want to tell him where to put it, or do you want me to tell him?
When it's sitting in the driveway, I don't know that you're going to be able to do it with this particular house because it can't be in the driveway. It has to be behind the house.
Because they stuck in the two pole in the back and up, all the way back and up, so.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't know that you're going to be able to store it properly on that property.
So I have no way I can pack my boat right now.
Well, no, there's use public storage.
There's public storage places where you can rent the space and park a boat.
I got no fan of... Because I'm just moving this winter spring. I don't know how the rule is here. But I thought, like, I pack in the driveway. I didn't stuck for, like, a sidewalk. Anything that's stuck in the sidewalk, I think it'd be fine. Cause
yeah, but it's not. It has to be behind the fence line.
It has to be, and Rich, correct me if your understanding is otherwise, but even going from memory of looking at this, it has to either be in the backyard or in the side yard or in a garage or a carport, but in any event, it has to be the very front of your house. It has to be behind that. So if it's on the side, that's okay. There may or may not be screening requirements. I'm not sure offhand.
Okay. I understand. Because I'm saying the lot is too small.
You can't get around the side or back.
I can get all the way back in the side. I want to sew up the front of the house. But I can't back it up all the way in. That's the problem right there. So,
right.
So
the only solution would be is to store it off-site somewhere.
Yeah.
And are you new to this area, not just Winter Springs, but
I'm the new
Orlando?
To this area. Before, I live in the Orange County, in
okay.
the Orlando.
We do have lots of public storage and boat slips.
Yeah. Because I don't know before. I live in Orlando. Mm-hmm. The how I live it is no actual either. So I can park my boat in front of the house because they got the space to park mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought I can do it here, so I don't There's know.
One big difference between Orange County and Seminole County. Is
now I know.
We're Seminole County, and this is Winter Springs. Yeah. So
public storage would be a lot cheaper than the fine.
Yeah. So we're giving you until 3:15 if the board decides to do so, until March 15th to remedy the situation. And then after that, if we agree to it, you'll have a fine after that. So let's make a motion, and then we can explain it to you after that.
So just only thing, can I hem the poles on the sides? Can I hem them down?
What? Hammer them down?
Yeah, I smack the pole one down. That's my sign. Not for neighbor sign.
Is it the concrete that you're talking
concrete,
about?
The pole, the concrete one?
That's something you're going to have to find out whose property line that's on. We couldn't answer that here. You can do anything that you want to on your property that's within the city's limits, and if you get a permit for it, if it needs a permit.
Yeah, if you might want to come down and speak to community development during the day, and they can walk through that.
I think if I can hem that down, I can take that down, I can all the way back in.
Yeah. So if you have a survey, the survey might show that on there, whether that's yours or the neighbor's. I wouldn't go over there and knock anything down that's not yours. Be in a worse spot than trying to move a boat. Yeah. Okay, board?
I don't see it. Okay. I move to find the respondent in violation of the city code and order that the respondent be given until March 15th, 2020 to correct the violation. In the event respondent fails to comply by this date, a fine in the amount of $150 shall be imposed for each day the violation continues thereafter.
Got a motion?
I'll second that.
Mr. Robinson, second. Any discussion among us? Roll call, please.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capro.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
So you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. There's no fine today. On the 16th, if it's not fixed, there'll be a fine.
Okay.
Understood?
Yeah.
Good luck. All righty.
Thanks, sir.
Got plenty of time to figure it out.
Thank you for coming in.
You can go. Thank you. Thank you. And my last case for the evening is going to be 2020 CE-000282, showing address of 250 West State Road 434, Realty Income Properties. Violations are as follows. Winter Springs City Ordinance 13-2, subsection C, for unsafe unsanitary conditions. 19-155 for backflow prevention. IPMC 504.3 for plumbing system hazards. Date of service February 12th of 2020. The inspector is myself, Code Officer Rich McLaren. On January 30th, 2020, I got a complaint reference to the backflow prevention device in the rear of the property is leaking and spraying water all over the surrounding area and sidewalk. The notice of code violation was posted at the business and mailed certified mail return receipt requested to the property owner. As of the date of February 12th of 2020, the condition still persisted, so the property and City Hall were both posted for code board hearing, and the notices were mailed out, certified mail return receipt requested. No contact has been made with anyone reference to this case. And unfortunately, for some reason it turned on the side, but if you can see towards the bottom, there's a spray of water coming out. Mm-hmm. It's been like that since the complaint came in. It's been spraying out water all over the sidewalk and the surrounding area.
What day was that, February 12th?
January the 30th.
January 30th, okay.
And it is still spraying water?
Yes, sir. I went by this morning. We're still doing it.
Oh,
is
wow.
That not something you like normally shut off the water? And
I believe it would. It when I spoke to Public Works about it, if we shut it off, it would do some. I don't remember how exactly they put it, but it would harm the water inside the business itself.
Okay.
So it was something they had.
This is in front of a business.
Yeah, it's the Family Dollar.
Gotcha.
They fix it.
Do you have any other pictures?
I believe there's one more after it. Nope. That's the only one. I recommend that they be found in violation of the ordinances cited and be given until March 15, 2020 to come into compliance. If not, a $250 day fine be implied.
It amazes me they don't fix it.
Their bill must be
out
of this world.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't pay it there.
It's a business.
Can we go back to that picture? Just want the record to reflect that if I get a crink next week, it's from looking
at
pictures on the side.
You notice I can't do this, right?
It's so hard to find good help nowadays.
Do we have any questions for Officer?
Yeah, Officer McLaren, is this an unsafe condition?
It is. It's spraying out onto the sidewalk.
But this is city water. This isn't wastewater.
This is just plain water.
I believe it is city water. I'm not a plumbing expert, so I couldn't really tell you. I would just go on by what Public Works was informing me.
You didn't go over and get a sample?
I'm not that brave.
And why are we giving until March 15th?
That was just the date I was going to give them. It's, to be quite frankly honest with you, the business itself has always been non-respondent to our notices.
Sure.
How is that water being metered that's coming out?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I mean, is the city paying for that, or is the family?
No, when I spoke to Public Works about it, they said that that's something that's on their end. It has nothing to do with ours.
They may not have even seen that bill yet, so.
And when they do,
they
will pay attention.
No contact with the inside manager or anything?
Nope. No, sir. I posted all the notices at the business, and nobody contacted me. The only thing they did, though, is the day that I posted it for this, the parking lot was full of trash. They did clean the parking lot, but that was it.
Okay. Is there a respondent here to give any testimony on behalf of Realty Income Properties? Seeing none, any questions, discussion?
This is what happens with businesses like this, and I worked at one that they only give you one or two employees, and they don't have time to do anything, and most of them just don't care about it. If they don't pass that on to their corporate, it'll never get taken care of.
Well, I do know that from the notices, because I also noticed their registered agent, that the registered agent did receive the notices. That in most likely sense is that they received it as well. So whether or not they want to respond or not is unbeknown to me.
Yeah.
Well, I remember them coming to a code meeting a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Really?
When we get their attention, how much time does it take us to get a notice out to them?
I believe their offices were in North Carolina when I sent it out. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, it was in California.
I mean, what I'm saying is
a couple of days to
takes a few days to get the order drafted and then to have the chairman come by and sign it. Well, so I mean, you typically speaking, just as far as from a practical standpoint, it's probably give it a week by the time to make sure that your schedule is okay once the order is ready.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I usually try to come up within a day, but it usually takes 3 or 4 days to get it prepared.
Sure.
I would think beginning of the week.
So if we would go to March 6th or March 9th to tell them to repair it, would that work?
I don't think I'm opposed to the 15th to get it. And I mean, I think it's not a matter of get somebody out there to turn it off. It's got
to
get repaired.
It'll take a full day to get somebody else.
Yeah, it's going to have to be called in. And
they've got to order parts.
I think the 15th is a fine amount of time. I don't think I'd go longer.
I go through this about once a week right now in Oviedo, and it takes a day for a plumber and a day for parts. So it's
sure.
Okay.
You would think somebody would want to do something if they're getting those water bills.
Yeah. I know I would.
Once they see the first one, they will.
Yeah.
It's going to cut into their bottom line pretty quick.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Make a motion.
Motion lady today.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It is.
Getting our money out of her.
I move to find the respondent in violation of the city code in order that the respondent be given until March 15th, 2020 to correct the violation. In the event respondent fails to comply by this date, a fine in the amount of $250 shall be imposed for each day the violation continues thereafter.
I'll second that.
Get a first and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please, sir.
Thank you.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Captain Track, time to shine.
I'm here. I'm here. First off, congratulations on your continued support and appointment between you and the rabbi. Welcome back, 2020.
Thank you.
Glad to be back in it. This is a non-compliance hearing. This is case number 2019-CE-001240. The address is 518 San Gabriel Court. Mailing address, care of Honeycutt Nathan, the same address at 518. The owner is Irma Carrera, and this is a violation of IPMC 304.7, roof and drainage, and I was the inspector on this. You guys heard this case back on May 14th, 2019, this address was sent a notice of code violation for the blue tarps. It had a correction date of July 16th, 2019, and that owner failed to meet that deadline. August 27th is when you heard this case regarding my testimony regarding this case, and you found them to be in violation of 304.7. Code Board set a compliance date order of October 26, 2019. That day has come and passed with no work or compliance being met. Board set an amount of $250 per day. The violation exists. Notice of this non-compliance hearing was sent. Owner was sent certified mailings, return receipt, left a copy of the residence, and I sent via regular mail as well, posted at City Hall, and an affidavit of posting was completed. These notices have been returned unclaimed, and this is how the house appears still. This house is right across the street from the police department, so we see it every day. I see people come and go. My postings at the door are gone, so I know somebody's taking them. I just don't know what they're doing with them. And that's what this is back in February 19th. I took this photo, and like I said, this is what it looks like today. I recommend that you find the owner in non-compliance with the Code Board's August 27, 2019 signed order, and that the fine of $250 per day be imposed starting from that October 26, 2019 date.
Any questions for Captain Track? Is there a respondent here to give any testimony? Seems par for the course. Motion?
Okay. Is this the one?
Yeah.
Fine and not compliant.
Fine. I wasn't sure. Okay, I move to find the respondent in violation of the city code and that penalty set forth in this board's previous order dated August 27th, 2019 shall be imposed consistent with that order.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on our part?
Starting from October 26th.
Correct.
Yeah, that's in the...
just for informational purposes, that's $67,100 as of today.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Nixon, was good? We're okay?
Yes, sir.
Roll call then.
Vice Chairperson Capra.
Aye.
Board Member Giltz.
Aye.
Board Member Burns.
Aye.
Chairperson Criswell.
Aye.
Board Member Robinson.
Aye.
Anything else to discuss? Well, with that, we'll adjourn. Thanks, everyone.
Nice to see you.